The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It is Wednesday, which of course means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I will be your host for the evening. I am, of course, the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me tonight is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo!
And before we get started, there is a little bit of a snafu on our end, on Podzilla's end here. So I want to give a special shout-out to special guest sponsor for this edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, and that is Josh and Alan at Press Start to Join. They run a great gaming and tech podcast. You can check out all of their stuff at ps2jshow.com. They are, you know, they sponsor us on the video game section over on Nerd Up, and there was a little bit of a miscommunication, a misfire that happened with our Patreon tiers, because even though we're not pushing the Patreon stuff because the post shows have really fallen off other than Nerd Up, Josh and Alan are still contributing to that. We misread something. Jesse seems to have cleared it up, but we are sorry to Josh and Alan. And if you like what we do here, and you're at all interested in video games and tech, check out Press Start to Join.
Oh, it's such such a lovely podcast, and it's not, this isn't part of the ad.
None of this was a scripted thing. It was just Jesse sent me a message after we got done recording, and I was like, I'm gonna give him a shout out on PWU.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if either of them listen to PWU, but
yeah, hey, I genuinely love PS2J so much. Like, I listen to them a whole lot, especially with work being what it is right now. They're always a part of my regular podcast listening, so I love Josh and Alan a whole lot.
No, yeah, they're great guys. We've done, we've had Josh on episodes here. I know I did the guest spot over a couple months. It's been more than a year at this point, because I was at my old, I was living in the attic.
Yeah, that's whenever
time
you,
is that's stupid.
That's when you taught him that America doesn't actually have a native language.
Yeah.
Which is fine that they didn't know it, because they're Canadians. We have Americans that don't know that.
Yeah, that's the scary part, but that's not what this show is. Thank you again, Josh and Alan. We'll give you that. Not a whole lot of news this week, but there's a couple that we're kind of bookending the show with. The first one being a story that came out, immediately ticked off a whole bunch of people, and has since evolved and changed multiple times, and that is the original headline was Vince McMahon orders all WWE superstars that they have to terminate any and all third-party agreements and contracts.
Yeah.
He's officially banned WWE talent from associating themselves with other brands. This, of course, includes Cameo and Twitch and YouTube, which, if you're listening to us, that means that you are probably more interested in wrestling and wrestlers than the average fan.
Yeah.
And so that means you're aware of things like Up Up Down Down or Kana TV, or I'm blanking on Sheamus's channel.
Oh, I can't
or
think
Shannon,
of it.
Shannon's favorite, Demandy's Donuts.
Yeah. And if you're a wrestling fan that also is into Twitch, Adam Cole, Mia
Chugs.
Yim.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Gulak's Twitch got me through like the first couple weeks of quarantine, because he was doing like videos every day. Like countless people that whenever the quarantine happened, which a lot of them were doing it pre-quarantine, but whenever that happened, that's like they were doing that to keep themselves sane, and they were still performing for people and was doing it at like high rates. Paige has a Twitch account.
Yes.
And, like, just countless WWE workers that have this that are being told to stop. And then Cameo, which is, from what Godfather told one of my friends, is an amazing way to make money.
Oh, yeah. You look at, you can see, if you go to a specific, I've only looked into Cameo once, and that was for a project that I'm working on. I need to see if that one's even still available. But if there are certain ones that they, you can, they post their examples of like, oh, hey, here's ones that I've done before. And some of these, like, I want to say Big E's is like $150. And people have paid it. A lot of people have played it. $125.
Yeah, totally worth it.
So it's, I mean, I don't know. It's not something that I would do just as a, hey, like, we had the story not that long ago about someone paying, was it like $300, $400?
It was like $400,
To ask out Alexa Bliss.
And got turned down?
I mean, in the sweetest way possible.
Oh, yeah. No, she wasn't rude about it at all, but it was just like ooh.
She was way more polite and kind than anyone who asks someone out over Cameo really deserves.
That's true.
Turns out it was The Fiend, and that's why he attacked her. But
the one that got sent to me by Effie, which is not a WWE wrestler, but that was probably one of my favorite random acts of kindness gifts I ever got.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah. But it's one of those, like, Cameo.
Shout out to Caleb Carter.
True. Thank you, Caleb. It's one of those things where it's like, man, why would you tell work like these people to not do third party things? Because Twitch is on their own time. Cameo literally should not bother you even a little bit. Like, that's just something that they do on their free time.
So this might be kind of surprising, but I think that there is a certain aspect of this that McMahon and WWE are correct in doing.
Okay.
And I want to make it very clear. This is undoubtedly an overreach, especially when they say, oh, where is it? WWE had a call. This is from WrestlingInc.com. WWE had a call with talent last Sunday regarding the reinvention of the product. During the call, it was said that WWE owns the real names of talent, not just their character names. That is insanity. That is an absolute overreach. We're going to get into that a little bit more. But they absolutely do own the WWE names.
Yeah.
Look at the Dudley Boys. They had to be Team 3D when they went to TNA because they didn't own the rights to the Dudley name. And it's a shitty deal, and I get that. But that's how it is. And I can understand the viewpoint of, hey, we own this copyright. We own this trademark, whichever one it is, because I know there's a difference, but I'm not smart enough to know what the difference actually is. But like, okay, you are, you know, even though, yes, you are Big E, that's what everyone knows you as. But if WWE owns that Big E trademark, if he's going and selling Big E merchandise, you know, which is essentially what these cameos are.
Yeah.
Then WWE is entitled to some of that profit. Like, that's what got Earl Hebner fired. He was selling those shirts out of the trunk of his car.
Yeah.
So I do think that it's understandable on that end that, hey, we own this trademark. Any money that's made using this trademark should, at least some of it, should come to us. I also understand that there's also kind of a, I don't necessarily agree with this, but from a corporate standpoint, I also kind of understand them not wanting to enter in with sponsorship deals using their stage names, their WWE names.
Okay, yeah.
Because, you know, if, you know, if person A, this got debunked, I think, or at least it was denied, but there was a report that the reason that this all went down was because Lana on her Instagram that uses her WWE name, she was accepting these Bang energy drink sponsorships, and she was posting these like sponsored hashtag ad posts.
Okay.
Which she was absolutely doing that, but apparently that wasn't, they're denying that that's what actually, you know, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, essentially. But so, if Lana, on her, with her at Lana WWE, whatever her handle is, oh, Bang Energy is an official sponsor, they're paying me to make this post, it's not out of the realm of possibility that someone would see that and think, oh, WWE is sponsored by Bang, or WWE is endorsing this product, because they're not. But one of their... So I kind of understand how that gets tricky.
Yeah.
And probably shouldn't be a thing. Now, this story has, like I said, it's evolved, it's changed, and now there was... It was said that wrestlers and performers... Like, because even Mike Rome would have been affected by this, but they can keep their Twitch and YouTube channels, but they cannot have any mention of their WWE name. So, you mentioned Paige earlier. She's already changed her Twitch name, because her Twitch name was like Paige, Real Paige WWE.
Yeah.
And now it's, Soraya Official, I think. I looked it up, but I can't remember. So at least that's good. Cause like, I know Adam Cole, like his is the Chugs. Like it's, he doesn't use Adam Cole, like he doesn't use his, wrestling name. Austin Creed, like, well, so Xavier Woods has always used Austin Creed for any of his appearances.
Yeah.
That's not even his real name. That's just one of his previous wrestling names.
So weird sidebar, and we'll get back into it. Have you really looked at the up, up, down, down title of the WWE Elite?
No, because I haven't gotten it yet.
The side plate says Austin Creed.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Somebody had a review up. Mine comes in on Saturday. So you'll get pictures. But yeah, no, just because you said that, it sidetracked my mind. But yeah, I think my big issue with it is this very much goes back to the... And you're completely right on the trademark thing. Like, I understand where that thought process is coming from. But at the end of the day, all of these people are still independent contractors. And it, to me, personally, it feels very scummy to be like, all right, you're independent contractors. You have to cover your own transportation, how, like, hotel stays, all this, that, and another. But don't try to go make money outside of what we give you.
Right.
Because, like, yeah, if they've lightened up on the Twitch thing, but they can't use their work names, okay, cool, whatever. But then offer these people proper benefits. Because if you're going to take, because like that would be like my job telling me don't go work a second job, but then not giving me money to supplement that. Now, I work at a place where I can have multiple jobs and it doesn't interfere. My workplace really doesn't care that I'm a wrestler, which if you know what I do, that's super shocking to me sometimes. But like, that's what WWE is doing. It was like, no, you can only really make money here. Now, of course, they don't own Dalton Anthony at all, like my workplace doesn't, and I do, so I can do whatever. But even still, I feel like that's, like, kind of a tricky situation.
And it ultimately, this boils down to the bullshit classification of independent contractor.
Yeah.
WWE wrestlers are, by the actual definition of the word, are not independent contractors. They are told where they go, when they go there, where they can't go. And it's just, it's a big thing that's gotten some mainstream media coverage. Like this edict passed down really took off in a way I don't think Vince was expecting it to. Former Democrat presidential nominee, hopeful, I don't even know what the actual, Andrew Yang was like, okay, well, if, assuming I don't become the Secretary of Labor, which I don't know the relationship between Joe Biden and Andrew Yang, if Biden becomes president, if that's something that he would even be up for.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, if I'm not the Secretary of Labor, I'll have the phone number of whoever it is, and we're going to talk about this classification. Like, he showed up on CNN talking about, like, hey, what's going on over here is not cool.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's super messed up because... Yes, WWE wrestlers make way more than any other wrestler in the world, on average. Now, of course, like, your top guys at other promotions, like, and other top world promotions, probably make more or on par with the top guys in WWE. But on average, I feel like WWE probably throws out more money than anybody. And they're like, all right, cool, but you have to pay for this, 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 and this, and you're still in it, but because you're an independent contractor. But we're not going to really offer you insurance. and good luck. Don't try to make money outside of this, because good luck. Because it also boils down to like somebody like Keith Lee or Drew Gulak. WWE didn't make those names.
See, that was another point I was going to bring up, is it's like, so what happens when it's someone who isn't using a work name, who is using their legit, you know, given name? You know, so if, say, John Cena was still a full-time wrestler under a normal full-time contract, and he decides, oh, I'm going to start up a John Cena Twitch channel. That's going to be an interesting thing to see how that also plays out.
Yeah, and that's, again, that's like, it's stuff like this that just pisses me off about WWE. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really... The Bang Energy thing, I understand. Like, you explained that to me to where I'd be like, all right, cool, I'd understand why WWE probably doesn't jive with that. But at the end of the day, I don't really see the harm in it.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's not that I necessarily agree with it. It's just like, If that is where they're coming from, it's hard to argue against that logic.
Yeah, because if somebody does something you don't like on one of their streams or something like that, you can just fire them.
AJ Styles constantly talking shit about Paul Heyman. I don't know if you've seen any of AJ Styles' streams, but he does that quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's one of those where it's like, well, I mean, Paul Heyman told Luke Gallows that if he ever lies to him, to bury him online. So maybe AJ heard that too and decided, well, that was the rule. But yeah, no, I just like, I don't know. It's one of those things that just feels scummy for no really good reason. Like, I don't, because again, if they don't like something that they do, just fire them.
Well, but if they fire them, then they get to go somewhere else. They can go to AEW. They can go to Impact. They can go to Japan. Even if it is someone that they don't want to directly use, you know, another thing that people have been shutting down are their pro wrestling tee stores. Mustafa Ali had a pro wrestling tee store up that is taken down. Like, he took the link from his Twitter bio out of his Twitter bio. Someone on Reddit was pointing out that, like, there was a Kevin Steen one, there was an El Generico one, I'm blanking on her, Zelina Vega's original name, Trinidad.
Yeah, Thea Trinidad.
Yes, thank you. She had one up, but those are now just kind of 404-ing when you search for them, which, again, it's the thing of, like, you know, is there even Mustafa Ali merch? Like, does he have more than one t-shirt that he could put up there? I don't know that. And, you know, Kevin Steen, that's his legit name. El Generico is something that's never even whiffed WWE.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a character that ever appeared. Plus, the majority of that money, I believe, Sammy was donating to charity. So yeah. That's a especially bad look. But we're not the only ones. Two people that spoke out against it that I thought was really cool, Mick Foley and Kevin Nash, were both having kind of a little side conversation, with Mick Foley even saying, I need to look this up, because the way he worded it was pretty fantastic. But they were both talking about, like, hey, they're not independent contractors. You know, this is a bad look. You should not be doing this. And
yeah, so what I'm doing right now is I'm just kind of going down the line of wrestler stores that are under contract at WWE right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so just so you know, I see Blackheart, which is Tommaso Ciampa, but it's under Blackheart.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Lashley. Give me a second. I'm still scrolling. It's going to take a minute. Brian Kendrick has one.
But is that their, like, older stuff? Like, was that before they were...
That I couldn't tell you. Although I am the best and then it's a piece of sliced bread is the coolest shirt I've ever seen. Thanks, Brian Kendrick.
Grab it while you can.
But, like, I know at one point Cedric Alexander has one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's somebody that's had, like, shirts before. All right, cool. Can you still hear me? My screen went black for a second. Okay, good.
No, you're okay. So this is the Mick Foley tweet. after having a conversation with Kevin Nash on Twitter about, like, hey, this is a crummy thing to do, shouldn't do it. Maybe at Real Kevin, he retweeted Kevin Nash, his comment, which was, especially as a 1099 independent contractor, you're an employee if you have to show up at a specific time and are restricted monetary gains in your personal time. Ask for your health insurance coverage and profit sharing. Foley responded with, maybe Kevin Nash and I can create a little good trouble on behalf of the WWE superstars of today and tomorrow. I love Vinnie Mac, but I think he's wrong on this. And, like, I love to see that because we already know that Mick Foley is one of the most giving human beings in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can really argue that. But for him to, you know, he has nothing to lose there. He can stir the pot and kind of really make waves, whether it's in the form of not necessarily a lawsuit, but if this does end up being a thing that the classification for the wrestlers has to change, that is more than likely going to have to, that is something that will end up going to court.
Yeah.
And he and Kevin Nash both are two great names to be able to, you know, take the side of the wrestlers, because what's Vince going to do? He can't punish them. You know, look at the number of people who very, like, rightfully so are already being told, like, hey, if you don't stop doing this, you could be fined, you could be suspended, you could be outright fired, you could lose your job. Or, you know, at the very minimum, they know if they do speak up against the company, well, any semblance of a push, okay, that's done. You know, you're just going to be collecting a check to sit in catering until your contract expires, if you're not just flat out humiliated and buried on television.
Yeah, which is...
So having, no pun intended, having champions like Nash and Foley be able to do that is a great thing.
Oh, just so you know, Sadie just texted me. She's upstairs right now. Rusev just debuted on AEW.
Dope.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
My handsome Miro.
Yeah, which was funny because Gallows from Bud Galloway as Stride Fame... Mm-hmm. Just tweeted out Happy Miro Day to me, so I'm assuming you also got that. You just don't check your phone during the show like I do, because I'm irresponsible.
No, I don't get push notifications from anything.
Yeah, he just
social media, so I'd have to look at Twitter.
What I assumed was you made a Twitter post about the show tonight, and just he was just being goofy. No, he just tweeted that to me. But yeah, no, Sadie's exact words was, Kip Sabian's best man. He's got bleach blonde hair. Looks good, though.
Oh, I don't like that that's where he came in as. I'll have to see it, but that wasn't a super exciting thing. Anyway,
fair enough.
I'll have to look into more of that. Super happy to see him doing stuff, though.
Unless
you're brand new to the show, you're aware of my absolute adoration of Miro. AKA, or FKA, Rusev. So I think that's it. So, like I said, that original threat or mandate has since been walked back a little bit. I feel like we're going to see even more of that, more of those restrictions kind of loosened up. But at the same time, I do think it's fair of them to continue to be like, okay, no, keep doing this, but you just have to remove any sign of your WWE name off of it. Which is Sheamus' his real name? Sheamus? Because I want to say...
I want to say it's like Sheamus O'Shea. No, it's not.
That was his full ECW name.
Yeah.
I know... Celtic Warrior Workouts. So unless... That's the name of the channel. So unless WWE owns the copyright to Celtic Warrior, which they might, I don't know.
Stephen Fairley.
Okay. I didn't think his name was Sheamus, but I wasn't sure.
I almost said his OVW or his FCW name, because that's the kind of human being I am. Yeah, I was going to say,
like, Sheamus O'Shaughnessy is what he debuted as.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
So, you know, there might be changes to certain social media brandings and Twitch channels and YouTube channels, so be aware of those changes incoming. But I get the feeling that this story is not over yet. I feel like we're going to hear more about this. And what I thought was hilarious, even though Cody confirmed it for me in the group chat, but we know that Up Up Down Down is a WWE product. We've known that. But today's episode of Da Party playing Uno, I said Uno, the announcement that Austin Creed, Xavier Woods teased is that they are opening an official Up Up Down Down store. So now, because used to you could buy Up Up Down Down merch on
WWE
on WWEshop.com. But now if you go to UUDDshop.com, that's where you can find a bunch of new shirts. There's a bunch of left right gear, which I am having to talk myself out of because the amount of money I've spent in the last few months on top of the amount of money that I have going to spend through the rest of the year, I don't want to talk about it. So if anyone wants to hit me up with a Christmas gift or something,
left right
for life, baby. The other thing that I did want to mention off of this is that apparently there has been significant pushback, which is good, on this by the talent, and them stating that not only are they going to continue doing this, but if they're not, then they're pushing to have their contracts renegotiated so that they can be compensated for this essentially lost revenue, which, hell yeah. It would be so much easier to do this if there was a union, but that's a whole other conversation and a whole other topic that's, I get the feeling if we continue to do this show much longer, we could start reporting on sooner rather than later, but still probably a couple years down the line.
Thanks, brother. I can say that about that. But anyway, we still got some news stories, and there's a lot of stuff from All Out. Well, there's one big thing from All Out I want to talk about. So
yeah. Oh yeah, no, most of this we'll be able to push through pretty quickly, and I'm just going to go out of order, so
no problem.
Get ready. You mentioned Miro appearing and signing with AEW. That is not the only signing that they've had. Tay Conti has officially signed with All Elite Wrestling. She has been on Dark, I believe, a few times. She is also was offered a contract for the Dark Order by Anna Jay, and she accepted that offer, so now it looks like that's where she'll be brought in. I think that's cool. I like her. I think she's got some, like, she's not great now, but I think she could be. Like, I think she has the potential.
Yeah,
to,
if they build her properly.
And honestly, like, her, the person that I want AEW to sign more than anyone right now is Serena Deeb. I think that having someone with her experience and her knowledge can help a lot of that women's roster, because they really don't have that kind of a anchor. Like, and I cannot stress how, and they touch on this on the Sasha Banks and Bayley Confidential 24, it was whatever documentary they had where they talked about their Takeover Brooklyn match.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned this. But Sarah Del Rey is probably one of the most influential hires WWE has made in the last, since she has been hired.
Yeah.
Because that, and AEW just does not have that. Yeah, you have Kenny Omega, who, especially the Joshi wrestlers, is very, very interested in, and I don't think that anyone at AEW thinks lesser of the women's division, but that is kind of the most consistent complaint about AEW is the lack of focus on the women's roster, which part of it is because their women's roster is for the most part a little bit greener. They don't really have that star, and they don't have what TNA benefited of with, at least yet, with their Gail Kim and Awesome Kong rivalry. Like, if they could have just one great program to really put that women's division on the map, I think that would benefit them greatly. And I think Serena Deeb is someone who could deliver that.
Yeah. It's been a shame that, like, a lot of their people that they could build the division around got hurt. Like,
yeah.
Between Britt Baker, who I think just came back, mm-hmm. and then, like, oh, God, Statlander. Chris Statlander, just like she tore her ACL not too long ago, so she's still going to be out for like in a substantial amount of time. Like, you could see that they were putting pieces in place to be like, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, we are going to have a pretty baller division around people that, like, you can get behind, but it wasn't, it just kind of, like, it wasn't, it's not, it hasn't completely fallen apart, but they've had some integral pieces just kind of, like, get hurt or not get over the way they thought they would.
Mm-hmm. Plus the pandemic sidelined a lot. Like, I know Sheeta was out for a little bit, I thought. I could be wrong about that, but I thought she missed some time because of it. But yeah, also like bring in Thunder Rosa, like that, those Thunder Rosa, like a Thunder Rosa Sheeta like series could be awesome.
Yeah.
So, so Tay Conti signed, someone who I genuinely would like, I don't want this to end up being like a, you know, oh, anytime someone leaves WWE, I want to see him at AEW. Mm-hmm. But between AEW and Impact, I would love to see these guys end up one of those places, if not both. But WWE released The Authors of Pain, which seemingly came out of nowhere.
Well, one of them's injured, yeah?
One of them was hurt because they were the muscle for the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins, which I loved that. I loved them in suits. Them as his muscle looked great, plus they added Murphy and it was like a genuine kick-ass stable. One of them went down with an injury. They both got taken off TV. I don't know how much recovery time is left, and because I don't know if it was Akam or Rezar that was hurt, but I don't know how much recovery time was left on either of them, or was left on the one that was hurt. But holy crap, like, they were someone that I wasn't super impressed with until they had those matches with DIY and The Revival and American Alpha, and I was just like, oh, holy crap, these guys are actually really good.
Yeah,
so I'm excited about, like, I and this is, you know, this is assuming they stay together as a tag team. They may not. I think either of them could be successful in a singles career, but I liked the way they work together, and I like that they are a believable big hoss tag team that can actually go to, like, they're more than just their size.
Yeah. And like, and I would like to see
them. There's not that many tag teams like that.
Cause there's, like you said, there's a lot of teams I would like to see them face. Like, mm-hmm. I think them versus the North would be really good.
Honestly, any tag team versus the North is going
to
be good.
Well, yeah, yeah. But like, I would like to see that match. Motor City.
Oh yeah. Motor City Machine Gun, like any of the, like, you look at the Impact tag roster, which is pretty stacked right now between, because you have the North, you have the Good Brothers, you have Motor City Machine Guns, the Rascals, and then also, you know, AEW, let them run it back with FTR.
Yeah.
Put them up against a team like the Lucha Brothers or Butcher and the Blade. I feel like that would be a great series of matches.
Yeah. Tag team wrestling right now is kind of hitting a really nice resurgence, which is good to see. Like, I enjoy watching.
Well, everywhere except for WWE, because the Street Profits get called out by the SmackDown tag champs, because why not? What else? Who else is there?
Yeah.
At this point, just ugh. Let's see. Go back to the list. But yeah, I'm surprised that they got released. I'm curious if this is something that they requested their release, or if they were blindsided by this as well. Like, was this a cost cutting thing? Kind of an interesting to see where that goes. Speaking of Haas tag teams, though, that aren't getting a great shake in WWE, the Viking Experience, the Viking Raiders, Ivar, was injured on Monday on Raw. You could tell that match kind of got called early because Ivar hit his suicide dive to the outside, and the X went up. I'm not sure. When I was watching the Monday Night Raw review that Brian Zane does, he said he thought it was his leg, but then one of the recaps I read said that they thought the way he landed on his arm looked really gross. So I'm not entirely sure what it was. WWE's website says it was a cervical injury, which means spine.
Ugh.
So maybe he had a stinger, and they called it there. I'm not entirely sure. They said he, you know, is expected to make a full recovery. They didn't say how long he would be out. So, you know, fingers crossed that it was just a stinger and you know, it was a temporary thing and that he's not going to miss any time.
Yeah, high impact stuff like that will... I've had stuff happen fairly routinely and then not be able to move the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's on stuff that you'd be like, that's what did it. So, and Ivar's hit that dive so many times, but like anytime you jump from inside the ring to outside, there's always that possibility of something going really sideways. No, right. Like no pun intended. Like that was my worst ever injury was off a dive. So,
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even like muscle related.
Yeah. So hopefully this is because, you know, you don't want to even come close to messing with a spinal injury.
Yeah. That shit's scary.
Yeah. We mentioned Kevin Nash earlier. Neither of us know for sure if we talked about this or not. I think we would have a couple weeks ago, but I just saw it on the list of stuff as I was scrolling through trying to find news. Kevin Nash confirms that he also had COVID-19. He's on the other side of it, so that's good. I just wanted to mention that real quick. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it, just in case we already did talk about it. Because I think he commented on The Rock's post, saying, oh, wow, that sucks that you have it. We also had it.
Yeah, which is good it's good that he's on the other side of it. Like, this virus sucks.
Oh, yeah, no, everything's about this is just...
Like, 2020 has taken some true heroes of the world from us,
mm-hmm.
And I really don't need it happening more. Like, for right. my own sanity and for these people's family sanity, like, we just... need to try to take care of each other as much as possible.
No joke. Let's see. Marty Jannetty claims that the murder confession was all part of a storyline.
So, this is funny to me. How are you going to have a storyline when you're not signed anywhere? Like,
so
what,
did you,
what
did you
kind
read
of...
his...
Go ahead.
Did you read his rambling ass insane... Facebook post?
I did not. This is all news to me, by the way. I didn't know about this.
Okay, I'm putting the link in the Discord for you right now. For those of you listening, 411 Mania has a transcript of it up because I don't even know if it's still up or not.
Do you want me to read it?
No, because it is very long.
Okay.
And I don't want to dedicate that much time to it. But essentially, what it is he apologizes. He's like, it starts off in all caps of, I did not murder that man. It was just the beginning of a damn wrestling storyline. But oh my God, OMG, didn't the world buy it?
What was he gonna, was he gonna do, but wrestle the zombie of the guy that he reportedly killed?
No, it's dumber. Which, let me say, I want to read that part, but like I said, it's such a...
Because let me say, so what I already said was pretty fucking dumb.
No, it's very dumb. He also apologized in his statement. I'm not going to read this part. He apologizes to the woman because if you remember, this whole post was like threatening his girlfriend.
Yeah.
So he apologizes to her because she didn't know. He didn't tell her that this was part of a storyline, and now he's sorry for all of the. All of the attention that she's gotten. So she's not a jealous, evil woman. She's very sweet.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to read one part.
Okay. Okay.
P.S. There is some truth in the original story. That's how you add on, and it seems all true. I was 13 buying weed from a gay man, in parentheses. And by the way, I love all my gay people. I just don't float my boat on that side of the river. Loves y'all, though. End quote, or in parentheses. Jesus Christ, Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, there's more stuff like that in this, like, if you want to read the whole thing. So this is the part that I found it. This is what the story was supposed to be. Which, again, like you said, he's not signed anywhere. This would have been for, like, an indie show. By the way, BTW, the rest of the storyline was to be my friend Darren Kelly, who really was a correction officer and great wrestler, but disgruntled as hell, so walked away from that job. He was to redeem himself by serving justice on me to earn back his stripes, but in a match stipulated with, if he wins, he takes me in peace, If I win, he leave me alone in peace, but sadly now will not get to do that storyline. So the story was going to be, I killed a person. You're a failed prison guard. If you beat me in a wrestling match, you can arrest me and I'll go peacefully. But if I win, I get away with the murder of someone.
Oh my God. The irony in that is amazing. If you beat me to the point of making me submit or down for the count of three, you will get to take me in peacefully. That's not what peaceful is.
Here's another part that I actually really love. And again, if you go to the 411 Mania, it might even still be up on his Facebook page. So I encourage you to read the whole thing because Jesus Christ. Where did it go?
Is it the CTE comment?
No, it was. Because by the way,
fans, there's a CTE comment where he says it's just this CTE acts up and I don't think straight.
But I had to let it go. It got too hot. I mean, I wanted to call the good people at the Columbus Police Department and tell them, nah, don't waste taxpayers' money, nor your valuable time. It was just a wrestling storyline. And it's like, oh, hey, listen, I know I said I killed someone, but don't look into it, because it's just goofing.
He just did the 1980s like version of, it's just a prank, bro.
He really did, except way more heinous drugs.
Yeah.
So either way, like, I mean, I would truly love to believe that it was just a truly tasteless attempt at trying to tell a wrestling storyline and get some attention, but I get some big Sure Jan vibes to some of this.
Asa, I'm gonna throw this out here. I think he killed that guy.
Yeah, or he thinks he did. I don't know.
I don't have to say allegedly because I put my opinion on I think he did, but I'm pretty sure my thought process is leaning towards he definitely killed that guy.
Yeah, it.
Because even in his, like, even if, like, his PS, some of this is true, he admitted that the guy sexually assaulted him. He subtly reached over and touched me down there, and I said, nah, let's get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
He never touched my... God, yeah, no, so, I mean, even in the best case scenario, he was still sexually assaulted at 13 from his weed dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. The next bit of news before we get to All Out, actually, real quick, some breaking news from ESPN. Well, it's not breaking. It happened earlier today. I just didn't see it until now. Federal appeals court dismissed a lawsuit Wednesday that had been filed by 50 former pro wrestlers, many of them stars in the 1980s and 90s, who claimed World Wrestling Entertainment failed to protect them from repeated head injuries, including concussions that led to long-term brain damage. We've talked about this. This is the case with Jimmy Snuka and Road Warrior Animal and King Kong Bundy, people like that, a bunch of older 80s era wrestlers were suing Vince McMahon and WWE, and it had already been dismissed once a couple years ago, I think. Let me see. Yeah, 2 years ago. And now an appeals court is standing by that decision. So this is likely the end of that lawsuit. Like, I don't know if there's anywhere else for them to take that. Unless they try to take it to, like, a state Supreme Court or something, but given, I would be kind of surprised if it got that far.
Well, I mean, they're independent contractors, so they're, WWE's not going to get in trouble for anything.
Yeah, no, that's the literal get-out-of-jail-free card. The next story before we get to All Out is one that I'm actually genuinely, like, super excited about. Rey Mysterio and Cartoon Network Latin America have announced that they are in the works to make a Rey Mysterio animated series. And, like, honestly, how has it taken this long for that to be a thing?
Yeah, like, he is probably one of their most, like, marketable superstars.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the biggest luchadors of all time. You know, he's not necessarily, like, Blue Demon, but, you know, he's...
I would...
like, one of the longest running luchadors. Like, the stuff he did at SummerSlam was insane. Or not SummerSlam. Payback.
Payback.
Like,
yeah.
Remember when we talked about how never like on the show, because I think he turned things around by the time we really even started this up. But you know, remember seeing him at the end of that initial WWE run and being like, "Holy crap, he's not going to be able to walk. He needs to retire."
Yeah,
he can't.
You know what? You know,
and
what
now
fixed
his bottom
that,
half
right?
is robots, and now he's like as good as he ever was.
Yeah. Do you know what fixed that for him?
His bottom half being robots.
Well, that, and he stopped wearing knee braces.
Huh.
Like, he was wearing knee braces, and he just, like, decided that he wasn't going to use them. And he's like, wow, I get around so much better. And then, like, the stem cells were actually, like, really... Because that's what it actually was. They started doing stem cells in his knee cartilage to, like, regrow it mm-hmm. that way. And it comes to find out, stem cells fucking hit. Like, those are awesome little guys that can just rebuild cartilage.
Wasn't it Kevin Nash that was doing it for his knees back?
I think he was doing it too, because I think Rey Mysterio's knees were kind of like the, oh, this works really well.
Because I want to say it was Rey Mysterio. There were a handful of big names of people using stem cell, and it was Rey Mysterio, Kevin Nash, and I think RVD.
Yeah, I think all three of those names are the correct. Well, I know Rey Mysterio for sure, because I remember whenever it started, that was like a big deal. But yeah, no, they were doing that in his knees, and then he just like stopped wearing, like, he got in, I say shape, he got in better shape, because he was never in bad shape. Like, right. Rey Mysterio was never in bad shape, but his legs weren't keeping up with him, because mm-hmm. they were breaking at just an amazing pace. Like, if you ever watch the old WWE Don't Try This at Home, he's like, I've had reconstructive surgery on my knee 4 times. And it's like, yeah, that's why you can't walk. Like, that's why you can't do half the shit you used to. But he started, like, rehabbing it properly, stem cells, and then took the knee braces off and mm-hmm. was able to get, like, full function back in him. I don't understand how that works, but it does. But, yeah, he did, like, a podcast, and he talked about it. He's like, yeah, I just stopped wearing the knee braces, and it's amazing what you can do when you don't have those on. And it's like, maybe you should still wear them, though, because, I mean, yeah, you're still amazing, but I want you to, like, be able to walk when you're 50.
So Beth Phoenix just tweeted out, it's been a minute, #evolution2.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, gimme. Like, I'm very on board for that, but I'm not seeing any sort of an official thing, so I'm wondering if that's just a... Because they've been... It seems like it's the Xbox Series S. We know it's gonna happen. Like, at this point, it has to. Just tell us when it's gonna be. So, I don't know. Well, that might have just been a random tweet, because I'm not seeing any sort of official announcement, but we'll keep going. Anyway, back to the Rey Mysterio story. This is the synopsis that comes from comicbook.com. Rey Mysterio will tell the story of one of the most iconic luchador, a figure admired by all and star of the ring, but he will also delve into a great secret. Unimaginable forces threaten our world, and he will be a fundamental part of that fight. When their number one fan discovers this secret, together they will immerse themselves in a world where the excitement and adrenaline of wrestling coexists with mystery, mythology, history, magic, and supernatural beings. Hell yeah. Give me that.
That does sound pretty awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Also, so back to... That does sound amazing. But back to the original statement before we started talking about stem cells and stuff, I honestly think Rey Mysterio is probably the most recognizable luchador of all time.
I can't say that because I'm not familiar enough with like the actual like Mexican culture, like in Mexico. Like, I understand that he is huge there, but you know, the whole, we really have no idea about luchador culture.
That's true.
And
Do you know who El Santo is?
Oh yeah, no, and that's what I'm talking about. That's when I said Blue Demon, I actually meant El Santo. I'm just an idiot.
Yeah.
Because yeah, no, he is like someone that they're gonna print on money at some point, probably. And that's why I'm like, I don't know if Rey Mysterio really hits at that level, but how many of people like even our age, much less this younger generation, would recognize Rey Mysterio more than El Santo?
Yeah, and that's my whole thing now is I think, like, El Santo was huge in Mexico, and that's, like, important luchador is one thing. Like, yes, I believe El Santo is probably the most important luchador of all time. I feel like Rey Mysterio is the most well-known luchador of all time. Because you got.
But do you think he's even? Because WWE is, of course, worldwide. Of course, they do. They air their stuff in Mexico. But between CMLL and AAA, with, you know, wrestlers who perform exclusively in Mexico, do you think that that has any impact versus, like, how often do the people get to see Rey Mysterio wrestle live, and does that have a bearing on it? I have no idea. Like, that's not a question that I can honestly answer.
Well, my gauge,
I'm curious to find out.
Yeah, my gauge of well known is based on the fact that this is somebody that's been on worldwide television for the last 20 years.
Right.
And that's like, well, I mean, longer than that, because my favorite Rey Mysterio match happened in 1997. So we're dealing with a match that's 23 years old, and he was a well-known star in American wrestling and Mexican wrestling at the time. And in that time, he has wrestled like everywhere. Like, he, even whenever he wasn't in WWE, he had a big New Japan run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, that dude has just been like, that's why I think he is the most like well-known luchador. Unless, like, I don't count Jushin Thunder Liger as a luchador. Like, it also depends on your gauge of, like, what exactly a luchador is. But, like, Rey Mysterio is the textbook definition of a luchador. I think he is going to go down as the most well-known. Most important is up for debate, but I think he will be the most, like, if you show somebody a Rey Mysterio mask, they know what it is.
Right.
Whereas I think if you show me I would know what an El Santo mask looks like. But if you show it to somebody else, they're just going to be like, well, that's just the generic luchador mask. Because that's what El Santo's mask was. It was just like, it was basic because he was like the first major one of all time.
Right. But my point is like, but if you, I don't know. I feel like I'm getting weirdly racist about it, and I don't mean to be. But like, because like I said, luchador culture is so different in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Like worldwide, yes. Rey Mysterio, I would say like worldwide, Rey Mysterio is the most recognizable. I'm talking strictly in Mexico, because I'm fascinated by that luchador culture.
Yeah.
But no, I'm excited for this cartoon. I think it's going to be, it could be really good. I hope it's good.
Yeah,
I'm going to figure out how to watch it. I hope it's one of those things that it just like shows up on Hulu, but
it's Cartoon Network. I think it should.
I don't know what gets what or where, so.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I'm sure we'll find it.
So that's the stories that I've got for the week. So now we can recap All Out, which is more of a, we wanted to talk about some of the stuff that happened, so which we'll cover as we get to it. Although the Matt Hardy thing I am going to save until the end, so I'm going to skip that one. But Joey Janela defeated Serpentico. Private Party defeated Alex Reynolds and John Silver of the Dark Order.
I love
Big Swole. Love John defeated Silver. Dark Order's fun. I'm super into it.
Yeah.
Big Swole defeated Britt Baker by knockout in their tooth and nail match. The Young Bucks defeated Jurassic Express. Lance Archer won the 21-man Casino Battle Royale to become the new number one contender to the AEW World Championship. This match is also where we saw the debut of Matt Sydal in what a lot of the internet needs to shut the fuck up, because the bump that Sydal took was legitimately scary.
Yeah.
And to know how long he has been doing the shooting star press and how accurately he's been doing it, like, stuff happens, mistakes are made. But, like, even on the jump that he screwed up, that his foot slipped on, he still ended up getting more height than I've seen some independent guys, like, get off of the top rope. I don't mean this as a shot to you, but he got more height than you do on your elbow drops.
Yeah, and
because he's so insanely talented and athletic, and to watch these people, and, like, don't get me wrong, I like Botchamania. I think Botchamania is also done in good fun. Like, I don't think Matthew does it as a way to like, oh, look at these losers.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between just like, hey, I'm collecting this so people can, you know, talk about it and, yeah, laugh about it, but also the wrestlers are in on it. And granted, Seidel's reaction on social media has been nothing but, nope, I'm taking the L, I'm, you know, going along with it, there's nothing, he's not doubling down and being a dick. But also there's a lot of people who can't do, like, they struggle to get out of bed, and they're saying that Matt Seidel is an embarrassment.
Yeah, because it's also super important to note that foot slips on the ropes are super common.
Like, especially when you're in Florida, outdoors, and it's humid as all hell.
Yeah.
Like, listen, apparently the crowd died not just because of the Matt Hardy stuff, but because they were genuinely exhausted because the heat index was insane because it was so humid. Moxley talked about being winded by the time he even got to the ring. Yeah. Because the humidity just sucked the breath out of you.
And
that absolutely can contribute to, especially when you have that many people in the ring at once, like, stuff's going to get slippery.
Yeah, because also, like, you've never, and I'm not doing the whole, I'm a wrestler, but, like, you've never stood up on a top rope.
No, I have not.
If they're, like, I hate doing it. I do it a good amount. I hate it. Because if somebody even moves in the ring, like, takes a step, you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I've had a foot slip that ended horribly one time. That, like, wasn't even supposed to be a shooting star press. I was just going to do a drop kick. And I slipped and I fell and landed right on my head. And it's, like, it's not, like, there was nothing I could have done in that moment to fix it.
Right.
Like, even knowing, like, if I would have had, like, a That's So Raven, like, flashback or flash forward and saw that I was going to do that, there was no stopping it. And, like, the fortunate thing is Matt Seidel is so good at controlling his own body that he was able to land somewhat safely.
It still looks scary. Like, his arm clipped the top rope, but...
And, like, again... I said somewhat safely. It's just because he's so good at what he does that even though he had that mix-up, he fortunately wasn't super far along in the move to where he was over his body, like his head was over his body. And two, that he was able to, like, adjust his body to not completely bump. He was able to, like, get his legs out to where they weren't going to get broken. Yeah, his arm clipped, but it at least stopped him from going completely upside down. Like, I think you would much rather have a bicep injury than a neck injury.
Yeah.
And, like, people being shitty about it, I can't do a shooting star press. Like, I can't even imagine myself doing a shooting star press.
Yeah, majority of people can't.
And, like...
majority of wrestlers can't.
Yeah. I saw somebody do it one time to me, and it knocked the breath out of me because I was so mesmerized. And it wasn't a Matt Seidel shooting star press. It's like, it's one of those insane things where he was doing something he's done a million times, and he's messed it up before, but, like, for people to be shitty about it, it's super... I don't like when people tell people to not do a move or make fun of people for doing a move that half of wrestlers can't do.
Because,
like, I've seen people give shit to Tony Flood because he hit his head on a ladder doing a moonsault. And somebody's exact words were, Tony should never, ever, 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 like, 1,000 times do a moonsault again. And my exact thought was, well, what can you do in the ring? Because until you can, like, until you can tell somebody to not do it, you got to realize if you even can, and you need to not judge that person. Now, if Matt Seidel was drunk trying to do it and messed it up, that would be one thing. It was a slip.
Yeah, if there was something that he actively did to screw things up.
Yeah, then, like just,
that would be one thing, but this was just a freak slip.
Yeah, he was just, it was, again, something that you can't control. You can't control a rope slip. There are literally 100 things that can contribute to a rope slip. Somebody could have hit that buckle and a little bit of sweat hit the top of that rope.
Right.
Like, it's the rope might not. I would like to think this isn't the case because it's AEW and you would think that their rings are like 100%, especially with the talent they have. But it could have been that the coating around the cable was a little too loose.
Mm-hmm.
And that could contribute to it. Like, there's so many, like, I could tell you right now a list of at least 10 things that could cause that.
Right.
And for people to be shitty, like, he didn't fuck it up. The rope fucked up.
Yeah, but like I said, he's owning it. Like, he's embraced it. So, like, he even had the joke of, like, no, my next match won't have banana peels at ringside. Like, so he's, at least he's not, you know, like, bothered by it, which is what you want to see. So we're skipping the Matt Hardy match.
No, we're not. We are for later. Never mind, you're good. Keep going.
Yeah, we're doing that last, because that's the big thing. Hikaru Shida defeated Thunder Rosa to retain the AEW Women's World Championship. I really want to watch this match, because I haven't had a chance to watch this show yet. This is one of the ones that I would not have expected, but Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, and the Natural Nightmares, Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall, defeated the Dark Order, which was Brody Lee, Colt Cabana, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson. I like the fact that Colt was the one that screwed things up, and Brody Lee finally, like, snapped on him, which kind of blindsided Colt, and was just like, whoa, why is he talking to me like that? Like, I want to see how that portrays. Yeah. Because, like, okay, so now does Colt try to make it up to him? Does he, you know, does this start the eventual Colt Cabana Brody Lee feud? Or, you know, there's a lot of different ways this could go, and I'm super excited. Also want to give a shout out to JR for getting that he wasn't on Twitter and let his Jerry Lawler come through by saying that it was wishful thinking that Anna Jay had a wardrobe malfunction. Get the fuck out with that sort of comment. It doesn't enhance the story. It has nothing to do with the match. That is not what her character is. We need to, as a wrestling community, need to stop reducing women performers down to nothing but their sexuality and their attractiveness. There's no place in it anymore. This is dumb. And I wouldn't be as mad at JR about this if his apology didn't end with, now lighten up.
Yeah,
that wasn't it was literally just the whatever, it was just a joke, I'm sorry you got offended. It wasn't, like, if he could have had, like, a moment of self, you know, like, hey, you know what, I tried to be funny, but I understand that it was inappropriate, and I'm gonna do better, then cool. You can make mistakes, and you can learn from those mistakes. But this was very much just the tone of that tweet was just so petty and annoyed that he had to apologize.
Yeah, it was very much a, this is on you. Like, I'm only doing this because you're upset.
Yeah, so that was unnecessary and dumb. But cool stuff might come out of the Colt Cabana Brody Lee relationship still.
Because
I'm digging the Dark Order. I get it's kind of a polarizing thing with AEW fans, but I'm into it. I need
you to watch Being the Elite to get a better appreciation of the Dark Order.
I know, and I'm gonna probably, maybe, I don't know.
Like, it's so much fun. There's a reason that I said I love John Silver so much.
Mm-hmm. FTR defeated Kenny Omega and Adam Page to become the new AEW World Tag Team Champions. This was another kind of heartbreaking moment because Kenny didn't, like, attack Page after the match. Like, there wasn't, like, this full heel turn beatdown. Instead, he just abandoned him, which is somehow even more emotionally upsetting.
Yeah.
So, again, very curious to see what happens with Adam Page and Kenny Omega and FTR now that they're with Tully Blanchard. Like, are we getting that new Four Horsemen stable?
Yeah, because
Orange Cassidy defeated Chris Jericho by knocking him into the vat of mimosa.
God.
This was another kind of scary spot because watching the replay of it, and, like, it wasn't like a square pool. It was like a hot tub sized just circle. And Jericho going down, like, he had his hands up that he would have blocked his head, but if he was, you know, just a couple more inches farther, he could have broken his neck on that.
Yeah, which, I mean, fortunately, he was good.
Yeah, no, that's good. The main event was Jon Moxley defeating MJF to retain the AEW World Championship. Moxley was banned from using the paradigm shift. However, while the referee was distracted, Moxley landed the paradigm shift on MJF, getting him the pinfall. So probably not the end of this feud. It'll be interesting to see where this goes.
My favorite tweet that I saw about that, because Mark Sterling, MJF's lawyer, made a comment about that. And somebody said, he lifted him up. It turned it into a Death Rider. And I was like, God damn it. I hate people. But that was a good response.
Technicalities.
To it. Yeah.
Technically, right's the best kind of right. And unfortunately, none of those were the big takeaways from All Out. Wasn't the in-ring action, wasn't the title changes, wasn't the defenses, wasn't the vat of mimosa that was ringside at a professional wrestling event in the year of our Lord 2020.
Mm.
It was the Broken Rules match, which was essentially a last man standing match between Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara. If Matt Hardy loses, he is out he has to leave AEW. And what happened, for those of you who don't know, is they were fighting on top of a cherry picker with tables underneath. And Matt went for, I don't know if it was a twist of fate or what he did, but he went for a move. Sammy fell, he fell, but Matt overshot the tables and slammed the back of his head onto concrete.
Yep.
He then proceeded to lie absolutely motionless for, Alvarez and Meltzer kind of got into an argument on their show, because Meltzer was saying, oh no, he beat the 10 count. And Alvarez was like, it was a wrestling 10 count. He was down and he timed it. He went back, rewatched the match and timed it. Before the 10 count got beat, he was down, or before the 10 count started, Matt was down and motionless for 44 seconds. Then the 10 count started because, to her credit, the referee threw up the X immediately. She tried to call it off. She tried to end it because he was unconscious. And it was overridden. Doc Sampson apparently talked to Matt, said it was fine, and cleared him. The match continued. He fell again because he couldn't stand on his own strength. He could barely, he wasn't holding it together. He fell again, hit his head again. And they, for whatever reason, they restarted the match. They then had him climb a scaffold because they rushed to the finish where Sammy fell off of a scaffolding through a couple tables. He lost the match. Matt Hardy wins. He can stay in AEW. But holy crap. Shame on literally every person involved in this match continuing. Again, the referee, I am not shitting on the referee here. She tried to stop the match. She tried to do the right thing and was overruled. But Matt Hardy should know better. Which one, if he says, oh, well, Matt said he was okay. Hey, guess what? When someone hits their head on concrete from that high up, they don't get a say.
Yeah, that's...
Their opinion on whether or not they are okay no longer matters.
Yeah.
If the match is thrown out, then you can schedule a rematch when he's healthy and keep the same stipulation. It's pro wrestling. Stipulations don't mean jack anyway. He could just show back up on AEW and attack Sammy Guevara and be like, no, you didn't beat me. You didn't beat me. I beat me. There was an accident. Something happened and up the stakes. Okay. Not only do I have to leave, but, Sammy immediately gets, something. There are so many ways you could easily just call the match off, because I would so much rather see a company like AEW get the shitty side of the internet mad at them for stopping a match than seeing people get legitimately terrified for Matt Hardy's safety.
Yeah.
Because to have someone who was that out of it, clearly, climb another, what is wrong with you? What are you thinking?
Yeah. Because, so best case scenario, what should have happened, the ref should have just told Sammy to stay the fuck down.
Yeah.
Double
count out.
Well, double count out or get Matt up. And that way the match would have ended right there. Would it have been anticlimactic? Yes. Would they have gotten their cake and eaten it too? Yes, because then Matt wouldn't have had to do anything else. The match could have been over, and then they could have kept him from making more of an injury happen. Mm-hmm. So you get what I'm saying? They both fall. She sees that. Instead of throwing, she was right by throwing the X up, because he if you watch it, there's no denying that he hit his head. And then seeing him after, because I've seen clips of this was the only thing I really saw from All Out, was he was concussed. You can't tell me he wasn't.
Which they're saying he went to the hospital, he was cleared, they're claiming that there wasn't a concussion. He appeared on Dynamite tonight, and I haven't seen the full transcript, but apparently he is taking time off.
Yeah.
Also, in the biggest plot twist to me, Rebbie Hardy, his wife, appeared on screen. She was there with their son, in a blank or in an empty area of the crowd. And he's announced that he's taking time away. Given her reaction to everything on Twitter, I would have assumed, like, I'm assuming that she got 5 minutes alone in a conference room with Tony Khan and a kendo stick.
Yeah. So,
to,
like,
get her on TV. So I don't.
If there's so many things that in this, so this is going to sound really shitty, and I love AEW, but this isn't the first time where we've had to talk about a poor decision that was made.
Mm-hmm.
Like the chair shot from a year ago. Like, they could have chose to not do that. Unfortunately,
yeah, especially when you've already got, when, especially when the ending of your match is going to be, you know, a scaffolding, do you really need to add that extra,
yeah,
cherry picker spot?
Now, again, you can have the extra cherry picker spot, but, and that's good and fine, but the second you see somebody take a bump like that, like, at the end of, and again, it goes back to what you said. Yes, I just said, don't tell a wrestler not to do a certain move. This is an injury. They don't get a say. It's the one thing I don't like about Daniel Bryan. Because he had the retina injury and they called a match and he freaked out on everybody. Like, no, you should not. If you take something like that and the ref is calling it, that ref is there strictly to protect you.
Right.
Like, it's all an act, but at the end of the day, your referee should be checking on you throughout the entire match. Like, that's, if, and maybe he listens, I don't know, but Lane Austin, he is one of my favorite people to be in the ring with because he constantly checks on everybody. And I've been in the ring with him multiple times where somebody's gotten hurt. And his number one goal is to not make an injury worse or a potential injury happen.
Right.
And I've been in the ring where we flat out told somebody, no, you're done. And it was a tag match. We were able to work around him and we gave him time to, like, clear his head and just hope it was a cobweb thing. And I think that person maybe bumped one more time, but we didn't make him do an extra giant stupid spot or keep going in a dangerous match, which, I mean, at any point, any match is dangerous after you take something like that. And if you hit your head, but, like, AEW has a really, really bad habit of just going a little bit further.
And it's not even just, like, that kind of fall can do more than just, like, the concussion is terrible. Could have broken his neck. You know, he says he's going to make a full recovery, but he doesn't actually say. I'm looking kind of at a transcript of what he said. And he says he's going to make a full recovery, but he doesn't say what he's making a recovery from. And on TV, like in this promo, he doesn't say he doesn't have a concussion. So that's going to lead to a lot of, you know, that's going to lead to a lot of kind of question marks being left open. Obviously, the most important thing is that he is okay. I genuinely hope we don't see Matt for a while, at least until he is genuinely clear, because, like, the Hardy Boys are one of the acts that really got, you know, I've talked so many times about Kane and Jericho are my all-time favorites. The reason I even got into wrestling was because of Kane. The Hardy Boys and their series of matches and the ladder matches and stuff are also were a huge part of my childhood. And I was such a huge fan of theirs to the point that I genuinely hated Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
Because they won so many times against the Hardys and I just wanted the fucking Hardy Boys to win.
I jumped off of roofs as a kid. It really is not shocking what I've ended up doing with my life. I have jumped off roofs as a kid because of the Hardy Boys.
Well, I wasn't stupid, so I didn't do that.
Well, but I mean, again, let me reiterate, nothing I've done in my life should be shocking to this point.
Like, I don't want to, I'm thankful that I didn't actually see Austin break his neck. You know, I wasn't watching the pay-per-view that Owen died. I don't want to, and granted, I wouldn't have seen this one, but I'm sure I would have seen the clips online, but, like, I don't want to be able to say, oh yeah, I saw when Matt Hardy's career ended. You know, I saw when a man died or, you know, broke his neck or something like that. Like, I mean, yeah, I've seen my fair share of injuries as a fan. We all have. But, like, holy crap, this could have been so much worse.
Unfortunately, it wasn't. But it's one of those that AEW really needs to.
But there's no reason that that match should have continued.
Yeah. Like, again, like I said, the best case scenario that could have happened was try to get Matt to his feet and count Sammy out at that point. Because, like, Sammy could have just stayed down. That was a big bump for both of them.
Yeah, that could have been a, you know, yeah, they would have had to fill some time, but I would much rather fill time and get a weird finish that they have to walk back on than someone risk permanent injury.
Because, like, the best, how should I say it? The most well taken care of concussion thing I've ever seen happen mid match was Vaudevillains versus Enzo and Cass.
Oh, when Enzo.
When Enzo bit it going out of that rope. And mm-hmm. Gotch came to go get him, and that ref pushed him and said no.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that did that match end really goofy? Yeah, because somebody got hurt, like, IRL. And, like, did it... I'm not being shitty when I say this. Did it keep the fans from getting a proper finish to a match? Yes. It did take that away from the fans. But it did not increase the likelihood of Enzo getting more hurt. Which at the end of the day is the important part.
Yeah.
Because business, like, and even looking at this in a more gross sense, a not as hurt wrestler is worth more to you than a completely hurt wrestler. Like, that's just business, right? Like, and again, I said it's gross, but that's how they should look at it.
It's the, well, actually, in the long term, it's more profitable to not murder our employees.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that anybody at AEW is wanting Matt to get hurt more. It's just one of those where there are so many people back there that know better.
Yeah.
That didn't call it.
But at the same time, too, like, it's that old school mentality. The show must go on. Like, no, I can't. You know, you do push through. You look good whenever you push through an injury to finish a match. But I think we're kind of now at a crossroads of we're realizing that's not necessarily... Yes, it's good for the business and it's good for the match in general, but it's bad for the individual. And I'm okay with us moving towards a care for the performer more than care about the product.
Yeah, because again, at the end of the day, I would much rather be reporting on, well, Matt got a pretty wicked concussion, but they didn't keep going, so that's good, than what we're currently talking about.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, that match could have been something special, but, you know, something happened. So, but that is All Out. Hopefully we'll have more of an update on Matt Hardy's condition whenever he does make his eventual return. But that's going to do it for us. Of course, you can go to podzilla1985.com, check out any of our previous episodes. We did Nerd Up this past Monday, which, of course, thankfully, we talked about all of the nerd stuff about 6 hours before all of the Xbox Series X and Series S news leaked and dropped. So we didn't have to discuss any of that because who would care about something like that?
Yeah.
Not bitter. It's fine. But podzilla1985.com. Subscribe to us, share us, like us wherever you listen to podcasts. Even subscribe to us to the ones you don't on the platforms you don't listen to. Of course, you can get your Dalton Anthony merch, prowrestlingtees.com/Dalton Anthony. Get you some t-shirts. If you buy enough of them, he can get more designs up there for you to buy. Spend a bunch of money for there because I'm gonna make him use a cut to buy me action figures. Yes. He doesn't know this yet. He can't hear me. It's fine. I'll tell him later.
What?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, cool.
Just doing the plugs. Of course, Facebook, Twitter, and now reddit.com/podzilla1985. We've got a subreddit going. We've got more flares than we do users, but come get you one. Come hang out with us on Reddit if you're ever on there. And then, of course, I do Twitch streaming, twitch.tv/the5starman with the number 5. Friday night, I think I haven't decided what I want to do. I'm either going to do Batman Arkham Asylum, more of that, because I just reached the second Scarecrow part, and those are always super fun, or I might do Mario All-Stars, because that's now on the Switch, so we'll figure it out. We'll see what happens. Come say hi. But other than that, that's going to do it for us. Dalton, thank you for being here this week, and we will see you next time right here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted.